Some of you are aware that the district stewardship teams came to be 2 years ago when the annual conference did its restructuring. And as we began working on defining what the district stewardship teams were to do, we had David Bell come from, at that time, the General Board of Discipleship to offer some training for the teams as we were getting started in our work together. That's been about 18 months ago, and this is our second training for all of the teams gathered together. Today, we're going to learn from each other now in this segment of our day to find out some of the things that you've been experimenting with. All the teams have been discovering what it is to be a district stewardship team, and we're hoping that we can learn from each other in terms of some of the things you've tried, some of the ways that you've engaged the topic and supported one another. So I'd like to invite representatives from the various teams one by one to come on up and share a little bit. I think I forgot to say, I'm Phil Carver. I serve as the field outreach minister for the Southeast District. Well, thank you very much. My team supports me. What I thought we might do is begin with a district that is ready and invite you to come up to the podium so that we can hear what you have to say and also get it recorded for those who aren't able to be with us today to make that available. Is there a team that is ready to go? And Sarah's got her hand up. So come on down from the Northwest District.
I want to go first so no one else takes ours. Our district stewardship chair can't be with us today, and we had some timid souls from the rest of the district, so I'll be sharing. I'm from the Northwest District. One of the things that we really took from our time with David Bell is that it was important for us to give language and resources to the pastors and leadership teams in the churches to even talk about stewardship and financial issues in their local congregations. And so we've met around some different issues around that, but specifically this last year, one thing that has really gained some momentum is we committed and purchased a copy of Enough by Adam Hamilton for each congregation, not each charge, but actually each congregation. We purchased the participants book, and encouraged each pastor to read it and explore it, and to then pass it on and share it with their leadership teams. That decision was made, I think, in like February. It was earlier in the year. Since then, Adam Hamilton came out with a stewardship program guide that accompanies it. And a number of the churches in the district now are using this. And one of the reasons why we felt very confident in the materials is that it not only addresses corporal stewardship in a congregation, but it does a beautiful job of talking about personal financial habits and what it means to be addressing our current financial and economic situation. And we felt the only way we could authentically talk about stewardship was addressing the real need for people to even have a handle to talk in Christian terms about what's going on financially in their daily lives as well as in their corporal congregational life. So each congregation received a copy of Enough, and we also had three copies of the DVDs that have been able to be floated around the district. And there's a lot of momentum that's going on in our cluster conferences. We've heard the language kind of coming forth that people are working on this and finding some real fruit. So that's one of the pieces that we do. Is that good?
You want to invite somebody else to...
I would love to invite, oh, I see in the back corner, that's Northeast, right? No, North Central. Come on up. The tithe is right. No.
I don't have candy bar.
I'm part of Bishop
Spitchell. I'm Karen Berg from the North Central District. One of the things that we did is that we scheduled 8 workshops on 2 different dates. We did 4. We picked 4 communities and to ensure that, you know, everybody has conflicts in their schedule. So we picked 2 different dates and made it 8 different locations. And then we partnered up and broke up into teams within our group to do workshops on stewardship. A lot, you know, you always wish that you had, it's just like Sunday morning, you always wish the turnout filled every pew. But those who did come pretty well all said that it was worth their time to be there, and they found it very worthwhile. And we just, I can only speak really because I didn't get to attend the other ones, but I know at the workshop that I was part of, we did a lot of conversation. So we weren't up there just preaching, this is what you got to do. And we allowed for a lot of conversation. We had some wonderful videos. One of them that we used was the God's Pie video that we saw here with David Bell. But we had some other videos that we also worked as talking points. And we found that it was helpful. Do I have to pick the next person?
Do you want to invite someone else?
That's what I'm doing. Who wants to come up from South Central?
I didn't wait for a hand.
Good for you. That's fine.
I'm Paul Smith. I'm from the South Central District. And we had one workshop with the district leadership team at the very beginning. But what we have found was that the churches weren't really asking for our help, that oftentimes when talking with them, it would come up on a side note. And so we were trying to decide a way in which to encounter and to try to get as much information out there as we could, and before or during, but we found out that it just wasn't something they oftentimes came and say, hey, we're having problems with. And so we devised a little bit from the Stewardship Academy and also from what Dave Bell talked about, and what we did was at each charge conference, we have five questions that was from the David Bell that said we could reproduce and use, that talked a little bit about the survey of the culture and resources and kind of expanded on that a little bit, and then the importance of stewardship education from the academy, and then a list of resources. So as a way of trying to get in the hands of as many people as we could, as a way of getting information out there, and the survey of the culture, I found that when you do use it in the church, it's an excellent conversation starter. So if you want, I can hand one of these out, what we did, but it's to each district. So you bet. Martha's back there.
We are the Central District team, and we have one thing and one thing alone on our minds. And that is the fun of Christian stewardship and generosity with God.
We have split up as a team to do different things and different focuses. And so in preparation for workshops that we've done, we all had different areas. One of my responsibilities was to help to provide a list of resources for helping with personal finance and other resources. A lot of our folks are imprisoned with debt and do not have in their present condition any hope or ability to give. And so the resources that many have talked about, and all of you know, Enough is one of those, can help free people so that they can be that which God would hope they could be in as far as stewardship. So that was one of the things that was presented at those workshops.
The workshops, they were at Emmanuel, right, United Methodist Church, and then also at Newton. One of the resources that is a part of our conference that we were able to make use of here, and that is the keynote speaker, Kevin Gowdy. And if you've not had a chance to use him at this point, I would really recommend that, even though I know his time is limited as far as being also the head now of of the foundation, the United Methodist Foundation, but he was just a wealth of resource for our district team. He was the keynote speaker and sharing with us some of the various stewardship programs that are out there. I know that was very helpful for me because you kind of tend to get stuck on one like stewardship type of a program, and he was able to give the in his workshop the a variety of resources that are out there for stewardship programs, and just kind of one personal witness thing as well. We were going through a capital campaign trying to struggle with how we were going to do that, and Kevin helped us immensely around those issues at New Hope United Methodist Church, where I'm the pastor of. And so that was one thing I would share out of the workshops that I think was just very valuable, and we've got an invaluable resource, I think, in Kevin Gowdy.
I think we have money stuck all over us because part of what we've done on this committee, we've really gotten comfortable about talking about money and faith. And that's really been a blessing to all of us, I think, when we come together, that we talk about what this means to us, what it means to our churches, and just kind of taking an ease about that money's a reality and to look at it that way.
We have wanted to be a resource for the churches in our district, and so we started a district newsletter, which was going to be quarterly, and it's been about, what, biannual? so our quarterly newsletter has gone out once. But it's given us an opportunity to let people know that we're available as resources and that we are ready to talk about these things, as Cindy said, and also to share some success stories that happen around the district or stories that are going on in people's lives. And I just have one of those I have to share. When Cindy suggested we wear money, I dug in my pocket. This is my last dollar. We're doing Financial Peace University at my church, Dave Ramsey's program, kind of as a result of the workshop that we did last spring, because I heard how great it was, and I personally knew that we needed to do it, and I knew that this was a good time in our church. So we have 9 families going through this at my church, and you know, like, this is the end of October, right? This is my last dollar from my envelopes before they get replenished with the check that got deposited today. So yay, I had one left.
My job on the district is to keep a sense of humor around finances and our church struggles with finances, I guess. But one of the things that I haven't even shared with our group yet, but meeting at staff yesterday, what do we want to focus on during Advent? And we decided that to try and develop a more simple model for Christmas and Christmas giving is going to be our focus this year. And we're pretty excited about it. There's some excellent resources, websites out there on that, and I encourage you to take a look.
Briefly, two last things. We have been doing a lot of reading and looking at books on change, ways in which we can make those resources available to us, but also beyond us. The other thing we did, we've tried to make ourselves a resource to the local churches within the district, and we've consulted with one church so far and found that to be a really meaningful thing, hopefully for them, but certainly for us as well. So.
Just conclude by saying we meet monthly for lunch and fellowship and prayer.
Oh, sure. Who shall we invite? What do you think?
Thank you. I'm Chris Hummerkaus. I'm the chair of the East Central District Stewardship Team, and I really appreciate the efforts of the Central District coming up as a team when my team told me that we're throwing you to the wolves. So go ahead. Love you guys. You're great. Yeah, always. Yeah, I count on that. We began our first year of existence as a team deciding that we were feeling somewhat out of sorts because every time we scheduled a meeting, there was a natural disaster of some sort or another. We literally had almost a year's worth, a good 6 months, worth of meetings canceled due to either ice storm and blizzard or flooding. So it's for a while we thought we would never get together as a team. But we began by crafting a mission statement that we've tried to use to guide our efforts. And gee, I found something awfully similar printed in our materials today. But our mission statement reads, to cultivate extravagant generosity within the people and congregations of the East Central District through practical emphasis on prayers, presence, gifts, witness, and service. So we began with what we called initial listening conversations. Each team member has a list of contacts, charges in the district. And we began by calling them, introducing ourselves, saying that we served on the team, and listening to what they had to say around the issues of stewardship. We asked to hear about celebrations, challenges, and ideas for us as a district stewardship team. And we've compiled that information, and it helps guide our efforts as well. We also then, each of us, sent out a letter to our contact churches offering assistance around issues of stewardship, training, with upcoming financial campaigns, anything that we could be of direct contact with them about. We recently had our first day apart with Janet and Phil Jamison. You may know them from UDTS. And they were speaking around their new book, Ministry and Money, A Practical Guide for Pastors. And we had that day apart up at Pictured Rocks, which was great. And again, attendance was pretty good, but a start. And now what we're finding is we will probably offer that again at a different time of the year so that more folks can be a part of it. We're also giving a copy of the book to each charge at charge conferences. Dave and Jill are doing that. We have an upcoming day apart scheduled where we will be exploring the topic of stewardship through identifying and using and living our spiritual gifts. We also are writing handwritten thank you notes to the churches in our district who are paying their apportionments, making an effort to do so. We have newsletter articles in the district newsletter about different topics around stewardship, stewardship in kids, spiritual gifts, all sorts of different things. We do have a blog spot, which has been pretty spotty, but it's generousineveryway.blogspot.com. So check it out, and you have the chance to add your... feel free to post on there. You have a chance to put your 2 cents on that spot. Generous in every way, all one word, .blogspot.com. And we're also establishing a district library of resources housed at the district office. People can come in, instead of having to purchase something on your own and check it out and see if it works, you can come give it a glance and see if it would be helpful to your congregation. Right now, I would say that at least that every team member has at least 2 personal contacts actively working with churches in our district and how we can be supporting them, how they can be supporting each other, and moving forward in stewardship. Thanks. And who's left?
I'm Mike Metz from the Southeast District. I serve at the Fairfield Church, and Lori's here too. She'll say a word in a minute. We've done several things as our district team, ranging from trying to make a priority of presenting at the yearly leadership training district meeting, one segment on stewardship. We've also been available as team members to meet with congregations in the district that ask us to come and meet with their finance committee or stewardship committee and make suggestions or just hear their concerns, talk with them. Another thing we've done is put together a newsletter that goes out from time to time. We titled our district newsletter, Thanks to You. I think our first edition, we listed a number of ways in which the congregation's gifts to district askings were being used and how those district askings were actually doing something for God and for the sake of the kingdom in their area of use. And then this one we brought with us as samples. It just was an issue we devoted to different stewardship program possibilities.
My name is Lori Jones Walsh, and I am the business administrator for Christ Church Davenport. And 3 years ago, God sent me on a quest to seek my certification as a business administrator through the National Association. And one of the criteria in order to get that certification is to develop a project with the clergy and laity within the church that will benefit first and foremost your church, and then ultimately the church at large. The thing that God implanted on my heart at the time, which was a total God thing because I wouldn't have chosen it for myself, was stewardship. And I knew that that was the thing that I needed to make for my project. 2.5 years of research and about 150 pages of writing later, I developed stewardship, putting the pieces together, a guide for best practices for stewardship. And I've had the privilege of having my stewardship committee at Christ Church be solely behind this and participatory. And then when it was in its final phases, I brought it to the Southeast District Stewardship Committee, and we've been able to take a look at these best practices, our district newsletter, and a thank you letter that was sent out to those churches who are making their apportionments were a direct result of the research that I did that says, you know, some of the best practices for stewardship. I've identified basically 40 best practices for stewardship for the local church. My own stewardship committee sees this as kind of their guidelines. Their one stewardship member said it was kind of like his job description for them to take a look at this. I will make this available to anybody that wants it. I have it in PDF format, and I don't know if there's a way that we can post it on some website somewhere. I'd be happy to do that, but it is and it will continue to be a living and breathing document, because what's a best practice today probably 5 years from now, you know, might change. But I would be delighted to make it available, and hopefully it will help any of those of you who would like to take a look at it.
Next group's turn. I have no idea who that might be, but come on down.
Hi, I'm Ed Kyle. I'm convener of the Southwest District Stewardship Team. With me today are my partners, Carl Phillips, pastor in Mills County at Malvern and Strand, and Heechun John, pastor in Adams County around Corning. We have other folks who are part of the team. Ed Gams from Logan and Magnolia is just finished his cancer treatment, so he's not getting out. And Chuck and Phyllis Mayer are farmers, and they're farming. And Ken Ferguson, they had a health crisis in their family, and he needs to be attending to that. There's seven of us. We're it. The Southwest District, for missional and programmatic purposes, is divided into four quadrants, north, south, east, and west. And our initial effort as a team was to, after the David Bell training, was to try and disseminate some of that wisdom to the key leaders in stewardship in congregations we turned were the pastors. And we devised a workshop. Everybody had a part. We set up the dates, succession around the four quadrants, and hardly anybody showed up. We were fairly intensely discouraged by the motivation shown on the part of our clergy to be inspired to lead in stewardship. So we're figuring maybe that's not a good way to go, particularly in counting up the investment in time, energy, and travel resources, efforts on the part of team members. So we've gone into responsive mode and have continued to educate ourselves. We've been using Dan Dick's book, Revolutionizing Stewardship for the 21st Century. We've been studying that together and passing that around. But along the way, we've had the chance to do some consultation and workshops with some groups of people. And Carl's going to tell you about what happened when a church got the letter from the DS noticing their apportionment payments. And while you do that, I'll pass these.
Okay. How many of you ever had the experience that you met someone up, got met in the parking lot, and you got informed that you're going to get run into a buzzsaw as soon as you walked in the church doors? Raise your hands. I think that's happened more than maybe we care to admit. I remember the first time we were invited to one of the local churches in our district.
I got out of my vehicle, and another vehicle pulled in beside me, and the couple got out and introduced themselves, and their words were in a rather tense voice was, "Are you part of that team that's coming to talk to us tonight?" And I said, "Yeah." "Well, you're going to run into a buzzsaw. You better be prepared." And, well, it was a little more, it was in a little coarser words than what I just put it, but you got the gist of it. And I remember when we walked into that meeting, there were about 30 people in there that night, and they were upset about the letter they'd gotten from the DS and how it had been interpreted, and had some time to simmer about it. And when our team met, we introduced ourselves as we were here to listen. We weren't here to chew on anybody. We weren't here to be high-handed about anything. We were simply here to listen. And that made all the difference in the world and the temperament of that meeting that night, because what started out as being something very, very negative turned into something very, very positive. And it lasted a couple hours at least, I think. And I remember all those that were there on the team that night, when it was time to leave, they really didn't want us to leave. We had a lot of private conversations afterwards, and I thought it was probably one of the best meetings I ever sat through, even though I was rather reluctant to go ahead and walk in that door initially. And we got thank yous back, all of us that were there that night. I got a thank you about 3 days later, thanking me for the time and being willing to listen. And I think that was the thing that our team got out of that, is we weren't there to be high-handed. We're there to listen what your concerns are and how we can help you with your concerns. And we got invited back with the finance committee meeting about 3 weeks later and turned out to be very productive. And some of the issues that they were the most concerned about were things that were easily manageable as in terms of finances. And they just, I think they needed just somebody to sit there and say, you know, you can do this. We got confidence in you. Fine-tune it a little bit and away you go. And the information that Ed has passed out to you there has been the information that we've been using. In another instance, we've only had two invitations that we've been invited out to, but they've both been positive experiences. And our struggle is, how do we get people to invite us more, realizing that we're not there to grab you by the scruff of the neck and shake you and say, you got to do this and you got to do that. We're there to listen and to help. And I think that's the thing that we've learned the most, that we continue to fine-tune as we go forward. I've listened to everything you said here this morning, I think we can all take a little bit of everything we've heard and fine-tune it, and I think that's been the goal of what we set out to do as a conference.
Well, it's been a great privilege and pleasure for me to be a part of the Dream Team, the Southwest Stewardship Team. It is a dream team. And also, it is a great advantages for us to be invited to the church who are really struggling with apportionment and some type of financial problems they have. And we are invited to the one congregation. They are also struggling with apportionment. And they try to finish the all 2008 apportionment at the time and they start to paying off the 2009. And what they are trying to do is, you know, that they invite us to preside some type of education program for the financial committee. So we were there and presiding the meeting. Great thing is, in my experience is, you know, the try to make our knowledge, our resource, and what we have, what we can provide available to the local congregation so that they can have opportunity to think about what is the best options for them. So after the meeting, and the pastor who was serving the church came to me probably 1 month later, and all the finance committee decided to do some year-long stewardship campaign. So that is very positive result, and because of that, you know, the local congregation have an opportunity to do some new way of stewardship through our resources we can provide. That is a wonderful experience. Thank you.
So the handout that you have is the copy of the workshop that I use when I go out and in doing field outreach in response to churches. That's why it's got my name on it. But It has just a smorgasbord of some what I've found to be some good usable ideas, but crucial that we begin with some biblical reflection, theological foundations for this, because otherwise then all we talk about is the fundraising and money. And it's about faith development and about a response to God. So that's what that's about. We're urging people to connect with the vows of membership, to think about stewardship as a year-long kind of venture, to provide an abundance of resources, things that people can do. And we struggle with this, the matter of apportionments, because the lay people on our committee are clear. Well, they're clearly divided about whether we should be holding people accountable and being apportionment police or not. And so we've got some very interesting discussions that go on. Because some say it's a commitment we make, we need to hold people to it, and other people say, no, that's going to be counterproductive. Well, how do we find our way through that thicket? That will be part of our agenda going forward. I just would want to celebrate with you that sometimes it works. Over the last quarter of the year or so, I've worked with the Red Oak congregation as they had a pretty low ebb, have decided to do Consecration Sunday, new Consecration Sunday. They had a committed pastor who pulled together a team of committed laity. We did the program. We held the celebration Sunday. And got a call the next day from the pastor saying, you know, the increase in committed giving came in at 42%. Having worked several years with that program, it's the highest I've ever known, and that's before the mail started coming in. It started coming in later in the week, and along with the commitment cards came a notice from a lawyer that they were receiving a sizable bequest that will enable them to take care of some capital needs they've been stalled on. And the leaders of that church are looking around at each other and saying, what's happening? And my response is, what we commit to God releases God's power to bless. And that's what we'll be working on, and we've already picked up some great ideas from you all to carry us forward from here. What we commit to God releases God's power to bless. That's a morph off of some Rick Warren stuff from somewhere. But it's the Kyle version of the good news. Just to share some struggle with you. One of the ways I want to lead the church is in a worldwide consciousness to contextualize the experience of the United States with the rest of the world. And having had the privilege of traveling to some places where people live in absolute poverty, not just the relative poverty we mostly know here, how to find and tell the stories of God's faithful people who truly have nothing. I struggle with how to do that without tapping into shame, blame, and neurotic guilt. I would like to generate some genuine guilt. Because I tremble when I think that God is just and God has the whole world in hand. If you have some wisdom for me on how to share that story and talk about that context for our stewardship without clicking into shame and neurotic guilt, I'd welcome your wisdom. But it's it just always gets to me to picture the woman in Africa dancing her gift to the altar when it was her last 2 cents. And she could give it because she knew her community was giving along with her. And she had no fear. Nothing to fear, because their community was a generous community and a committed community. I don't know about you, but I'm on fixed income. My income is fixed by the annual conference every June. I'm fixed pretty well. How about you?
I'm Sue Nye from the Northeast District, proudly representing them today. They're back there with me in spirit, I'm sure. I said to Ann, I feel like the line of people when they ask for volunteers and everyone had the nerve to step back and I didn't. So here I am to tell you what we've been doing. We spent, after the David Bell workshop, which I was unable to attend, we spent several meetings just working on the concept of what we would like to do as a team, what we saw as our role and our goal for the Northeast District. And we came to the conclusion that the first thing is to get information out to our district. So we held four workshops in the spring in four different locations around the district, and we tried to be cognizant of driving time and stewardship of that resource, and so we tried to kind of scatter them out. And whoever from the team could go went. We didn't want to divide it up into one or two people. We thought it was important for the team to be seen and to be kind of exposed to the district. So we were in those four different locations, and we focused on those workshops on the abundance scarcity belief that we have an abundance, and if we think we don't, that's scarcity thinking. We provided some resources around stewardship and financial planning, and had a member of our team speak about that. And then we also did some work on extravagant generosity and just how extravagant God has been with us, and can we be equally extravagant with our church and with our giving. Now, I have to be honest. I joined the stewardship team because I wanted to strike a balance in stewardship among those five membership vows, among all parts of stewardship and not just the financial part. And I wanted to be that voice that said stewardship is about more than money. And just this morning, Ann and I were talking about that 10% tithe and can we be tithers? And I said to her, I think it's more about 10% of everything. How many of us give 16.8 hours a week to God, to our worship experience, to our daily prayer life, our daily devotional life? If we were to add that all up, are we giving that 16.8 hours out of the 168 hours we're given every single week? And so I would kind of leave you with that thought, and I'd like to do some more pondering with my team about what that 10% is all about. The last couple of meetings, we spent some time looking at where our district is in their apportionment giving, trying to identify churches that might invite us in or might welcome some assistance. And that's kind of where we are right now. Our last meeting was canceled, not due to lack of interest, but it just didn't work out for the majority of the team to get there. So that's kind of where we're headed next, is to look at churches in our district that need our help, whether they know it or not, and then to see if we can become a part of their efforts to be good stewards financially and, from my voice, of the balance in all ways. So that's what we have been doing from the Northeast District.